Hello and welcome to episode 33 of the First and Goal podcast. I am Ben Roberts, joined by Sim Longa. And Sim, we will start with how the season ended last week. A disappointing loss for the Boilermakers as they fall on the road to Illinois 88 to 80. And we'll kind of get into it, the individual play. But to me, Sim, kind of the more disappointing thing that's becoming more of a trend now, is the second half leads that tend to evaporate and lead to losses. This time, I believe Purdue had a 10-point lead with about 11 minutes left. And Illinois also ended the game on a 13-1 run, I believe. And you know, if you look back at a few games here, especially kind of throughout the month of February and into March, to me, that's kind of one of the more concerning trends now that we're starting to see.
Yeah, no, I would agree, man. Like I think historically, you know, we've seen Purdue over the years where in the second half they've been, you know, we've been more of a second half team where, you know, you've seen where, hey, like I can't remember how many times, you know, we've been talking, whether it's on the group chat or we're all sitting there while, you know, watching the game. And it's like, all right, Purdue just hold on in the first half, essentially, or just like, yo, just, you know, like get out of this thing with the lead. And then the second half, you see us, you know, outscore teams by, you know, 8, 10, 12 points. And, you know, or we pull, you know, so we're either completing a comeback per se, or we're just, you know, extending the lead out. And yeah, especially, you know, over the course of these, really the last 7 games, you know, we go, you know, 2-5 stretch. But the one thing you can see, I think, across all of those games is that Purdue was either in it or had the lead in the second half, and not the lead by like 2 or 3 points, but by a few possessions. And then, like you said, they're just losing those leads for a variety of reasons. Obviously, at the top, you know, you're not hitting shots, but also defensively, rebounds, you know, taking care of the basketball. And you're right, it's the type of stuff that is concerning, because, you know, if it happens once, all right, cool. But, you know, like I said, it's essentially happened 5 times in the last, what, 3, 4 weeks. And you know, we talk, you know, when you look at the season from an overall, you know, perspective, you always want to be kind of rounding into shape, playing some of your best basketball when you're getting into mid-February, mid-late February, early March, for the obvious reasons. And it seems like what we've seen with this team as of late, like, it's very concerning. It's, you know, like, we know this team is capable of better basketball than what they've shown us in those same games. But at what point, you know, do you start believing more of just, hey, okay, this is what they're going to do, as opposed to this is what they can do?
And you know, the other alarming thing is to me kind of they're starting to show away from Mackey Arena. They're really struggling to shoot the basketball. You know, there's multiple times now on the road where they've just kind of struggled to score. And this game kind of like highlights the two areas specifically. So Purdue finished 5 of 18 from three, which comes out to 28%. And if you take out Jakari going 2 of 2, that number drops even more. And they shot 11 of 13 from the foul line, which, you know, isn't bad. But Illinois ended up shooting 21 of 25. So Illinois gets 10 more points at the line, and shoots 11 of 30 from three. So they hit 6 more threes. So 18 more points from three, 10 more points from the free throw line. You're not going to win a lot of games, and you're really not going to win a lot of games on the road when you get outscored by that much in those two areas specifically.
Absolutely, man. Like, yeah, like you said, I mean, you go 2 of 10, especially in the second half, and again, the concerning thing is that, like, they've been good looks. Like, you're seeing guys who are getting open looks. I remember, you know, at the end of the game, you know, at the end of the Illinois game, Braden had, or rather late in the game, he had, I think, two or three, like, essentially wide open looks, and he missed them. And, at the end of the day, it's just very simple, make or miss. But in those situations, you want to play law of averages, and you'd like to think if you're getting good looks, guys are going to start knocking them down. But like you said, we just have we're not we haven't been hitting shots on the road, and you're just not going to. You're not going to go far when you're talking about postseason basketball. You're not going to go very far if you're not able to knock down open shots. And for sure, if you're not countering that by then being able to get to the line. And obviously, we could have a great conversation about officiating, because obviously that there have been some issues there. I'll just kind of say that and kind of leave it there. But like you said, I mean, you're getting outscored by, what is it? Was it 28 points between the threes and the free throw line? Like, that's your, like you said, on the road against good teams, against quality teams, you're going to struggle to find ways to win, and you more than likely will be losing. If that's the case, not to mention the fact that I felt like, even though the turnovers, that was one thing that kind of stuck out to me as well. The turnovers were the same. It was eight, I think it was, what, 8-8? Is that correct? Yeah. But I felt like I think we had a stretch in the second half where we just turned the ball over. I think it was like three or four times really quickly, like in a short amount of time. And again, that's just another part of it where it's like, guys, they have to be better. We have to, it's kind of some of the simple stuff, taking care of the basketball, guard, like defensively, the reason why they're probably getting to the line, obviously in part is because we're fouling, which means that somehow, some way on defense, we're not where we're supposed to be. We're not guarding guys the way that we're supposed to, on the perimeter, and you have no rim protection. So, yeah, it's been really, it's been frustrating to see in the games that they've lost, just to see the way that this team seemingly has, I wouldn't say like what. I wouldn't say fall apart, but they faltered down the stretch when, for so much of the year, we were kind of praising them on how they've been finding different ways to win. And now it's like they're not able to do that.
Yeah. And, we'll see kind of obviously what happens as we go into the Big Ten tournament, into the NCAA tournament. But it just kind of seemed disheartening after the games against UCLA and Rutgers. It kind of seemed like they had, taken a step forward and kind of put some of those things behind them. And then a few of those, things that we've discussed kind of reared their ugly head again. So I don't know, man. We'll see. We'll talk about the Big Ten tournament here in a little bit, and who knows, we might look back at this and this loss may not actually be that bad because of where they end up getting the draw. They won't get a double bye, but you could argue that they ended up getting kind of a better draw anyway. So we'll see, and we'll talk about that here in a little bit. But just kind of a disappointing loss there to wrap up the regular season. But on to better and less disappointing news. The Big Ten awards were handed out earlier today. And Braden Smith was named the Big Ten Player of the Year. So shout out to Braden. If you've listened to this podcast at all, you've heard specifically from me kind of praise Braden every week. It seems like he's got, some ridiculous new stat. This one just kind of felt like they got it right. Like it was kind of the obvious choice. And the only thing that, was kind of worrisome was like sometimes when there's the obvious choice, for whatever reason, media goes a different way. But they didn't. Braden Smith, unanimous Big Ten Player of the Year. So shout out to him. And also Trey was first team All Big Ten, chosen by the Big Ten. Unanimous by the Big Ten coaches. Again, no real shock there, but you always kind of hold your breath too, like, are they going to make the right decision? And it seems like, at least with these two, that they did.
Yeah, no, I think and I think it was a good point when you mentioned that it was the coaches who put Trey as unanimous, because obviously they see you have to go against him. But obviously, yeah, Braden's had a phenomenal year. You touched on it, but saying like every time we were getting on here talking about basketball, you were dropping some stat about like something new that Braden's done that nobody else has done, or only like one or two other people have done. And so it's kind of like, yeah, if you're tracking that, then yeah, that probably lends itself to the fact of like, oh yeah, he probably is, you know, he's probably at least in contention of being player of the year. I honestly think that he probably would have been unanimous if we don't have this stretch we've had late. You know, if we go 5-2 instead of 2-5, I think there might have been a case for him being actually unanimous player of the year. But no, I mean, kudos, hats off to Braden, man. It's been an incredible year for him to this point. I don't know if, you know, 3 years ago when he got on campus, I don't know if anyone really saw him, you know, this type of trajectory for him. I'm sure there's a lot of people out there who didn't think that he was this good. They just probably thought attributed a lot of it to, well, you know, he's got Zach. And so, you know, the game's easier when you have the big fellow like that, when you have the big fellow around. And so, you know, this first year he doesn't have him there, and nonetheless he still impacts the game just almost, I mean, more so than he did last year. You know, being able to set the table for others. I mean, yeah, we lost the Illinois game, but he had 18, 12. He had 18, 12, and 9. He was a rebound away from having a triple double, which I know that's not the first time that's happened this year too. So he's had an incredible year. And like you said, sometimes you worry that like when a guy has that good of a year, that even though it seems obvious, the collective minds, the who you know who are making the votes, they're going to somehow see it a different kind of way. And so it's nice to see that both Braden and TKR getting recognized appropriately for what they did this year.
Yeah, and just to clarify kind of what you were saying, Braden was a unanimous Big Ten player of the year. This the first time in Big Ten history that a team has had three straight unanimous Big Ten player of the year recipients. So obviously Big Zach got it last year and in 2023, and then Braden getting the unanimous Big Ten player of the year this year. First time ever in Big Ten history. So
Shit.
pretty cool moment. It just kind of again goes to speak kind of this kind of golden era that we are witnessing right now. And you know, did just want to mention too that Fletch did get honorable mention by the media, and Caleb First was named the Team Sportsmanship Award. And you know, if you've listened to the podcast throughout the year, that shouldn't come as any surprise for what Caleb has done, both on and off the court, in West Lafayette. But nice to see kind of Fletch get some recognition there. A little surprised it came from the media and not from the coaches, but nevertheless, nice to see Fletch get some recognition there.
Yeah, absolutely, man. He had a, yeah, there were, it would have been wrong if he wasn't at least honorable mention. Because yeah, I mean, he had a solid year. I wouldn't say he had a, obviously, I don't think we can both agree he didn't have as good a year as statistically as you know TKR and Braden. But he, I mean, obviously Purdue isn't where they're at without the contribution of a guy like Fletch. So yeah, nice to see him get some recognition as well.
Yeah, and I will say, if you lead the Big Ten in 3-point shooting during Big Ten play, which Fletch did, feel like you should get some recognition there. So he did. Kudos to those guys, and of course, like we said, it's always neat when you can be the first team in the conference to do something. And so for Purdue to be the first team in Big Ten history to do that, always kind of cool. But Sim, let's look ahead to this weekend now. So we got the Big Ten tournament tipping off in Indianapolis. It gets ready to get started tomorrow or Wednesday for whenever you are listening to this, with Northwestern and Minnesota is the first game of the tournament. The other games on Wednesday will be Iowa and Ohio State. And then the last game Wednesday evening, the game that most Purdue fans, I'm sure, will be locked into will be USC and Rutgers, because the winner of that then will face the Boilers on Thursday at the late game Thursday. Will start 25 minutes after Illinois and the winner of Ohio State, Iowa. And so, Sim, just kind of looking at Purdue first before we kind of talk about the Big Ten tournament as a whole. You get either USC or Rutgers on Thursday. Hopefully, you win that game and advance Friday, and then you get a reeling Michigan team. And a chance to kind of exact some revenge from the last time that you played them in Ann Arbor. And we kind of talked about earlier, but obviously you always want to get the double bye, and I think it's worth noting that this is the first time since the Big Ten has had the double bye that Purdue did not get it. So I will always lead with you always want the double bye. However, if you're not going to get the double bye, this is about as good of a draw as you could have hoped for if you're Purdue.
Yeah, no, I think I agree with you, man. I obviously been a minute since I wasn't out here multitasking at work on a Friday watching Purdue. But yeah, I mean, all things considered, like you mentioned, I mean, you're probably gonna be favored in that first matchup between the winner of USC and Rutgers. And I think it'll be challenging. If you get Rutgers, obviously that'll be challenging. It'll be the third time this year, and especially I know Rutgers are probably gonna be a bit salty after getting straight BTA, belt to ass last time we saw them. And then yeah, after that you would then run into you would then get Michigan. And yeah, like for as much struggles as Purdue has had recently, Michigan's had their fair share of struggles as well. They can be extremely turnover happy. And yeah, and if you feel like I imagine those guys feel like they probably should have won that game in Ann Arbor, a few weeks ago. So this is kind of a chance to atone. And the season series is it'd be 1-1. So obviously the winner of this one would take the season series of that. I mean, barring they meet again in the tourney, but yeah, I mean it's. To me, this is going to come down more to what Purdue team do you see? We're thinking about like the last seven games. If you see the team that came out against Rutgers, I mean that played against Rutgers or even UCLA, because that was more of a kind of a grittier grind out game to win. If you see that team, I don't see how. I mean, I if that's the team that shows up starting on Thursday, I don't see why they show up on Thursday, show up again on Friday. Like, yeah, they'll probably. They'll probably be there on Saturday too. I believe in them that much. But if you see this other team, the one that seemingly can't put two halves of basketball together and seemingly plays worse in the second half, you might run into trouble on Thursday. So yeah, but like you said, it shapes up well for us. It gives us an opportunity to be able to really to play some better basketball. Because even if you don't end up winning the Big Ten tournament, you can play some better basketball to where you're at least feeling better about yourself than going into the NCAA tourney.
Yeah, and I think not only that, but it gives you a chance to kind of put a finishing touch on your resume too. Not to look too far ahead, but most of the bracketology, that I've seen has Purdue between a 4 and a 5 seed. And I think if you can beat Michigan on Friday, it kind of cements you and it kind of locks you into that 4 seed, regardless of what would happen the rest of the weekend. And I think there's a big, benefit in the NCAA tournament to being a 4 seed compared to a 5 seed. So I think, that's something to keep an eye on. But it gives you a chance to build a couple more quad one wins. And looking ahead for the Big Ten tournament too, like not only do you play Michigan on Friday if you can get past USC and Rutgers, but you also wouldn't have to face Michigan State until the championship on Sunday. So if you were able to get past Michigan, you would then on Saturday play either Maryland or Illinois, which would be two very interesting matchups. Obviously we just talked about the Illinois game, so a chance to kind of get some revenge there as well. And then Maryland is one of the hotter teams in the country right now. It's been a few months since you played them, so it'd kind of be an interesting litmus test to kind of see how you stack up there. But I think not having to play Michigan State until the championship, if you were to make it that far, and then getting a shot at Illinois again, maybe, is also some good things, to kind of take from this draw that Purdue got.
Yeah, that's kind of crazy how you just basically saying that whoever comes out of that Ohio State game getting clapped up by Illinois. But yeah, man, you're right. Like that, it does give you an opportunity to get some extra stuff, to get some extra toppings on your resume. For sure, like going into the tourney. I personally feel like, I mean, we want to just talk about like if Purdue actually did make like a deep run. Like if they, to me, if they got all the way to Sunday, I think for sure they're probably a four seed. If they fuck around and win the whole thing, I think they'd probably be like the last three, probably, or maybe like the first four, because that would be pretty impressive between like not so much the win on Thursday, but you go Friday, Saturday, Sunday beating not just like they wouldn't just be quad one wins, but I mean you get Maryland, like you said, one of the if it was to be Maryland, it would be one of the hottest teams in the country. And then if Michigan State, or I actually think Wisconsin has the ability to come out on that side as well. But either way, you have some really strong wins there, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And the way that it works out with the Big Ten is that you're always the Big Ten tournament is always the last one to finish. So like you're the last, like what you would what you're what you do on Sunday would be the last thing that the committee sees. So yeah, it's definitely an opportunity for them. I think it's gonna be really interesting. I think the tournament, I think it's gonna be as a whole is gonna be pretty fun to watch. I do agree with you that I'm personally myself, I'm glad not seeing Michigan State or Wisconsin. Glad that we wouldn't have to see either of those two until like should you get to the championship game. Maryland does worry me, the prospect of that, just because yeah, that we played them what back in December, and they are not the same team that they were in December. Got Derrick Queen, who was freshman year, voted freshman of the year. So that would definitely be a different game than it was the first time. But first things first is Thursday. So, and with the way this Purdue team's playing, we can't necessarily sit here and start talking about Saturday or Sunday and that type of stuff. Definitely is going to be like a one game at a time mentality for these guys.
Yeah, which is kind of, what March is. And so it'll be kind of a good, I don't want to say like warm up tournament, but a good kind of tournament to get you ready for the NCAA tournament. Because I'm with you, man. There's a lot of exciting games, from start, even on Wednesday, all the way throughout the rest of the week. There's going to be a lot of really entertaining games. So let's just kind of go through them just a little bit. We said on Wednesday, to get the tournament started is going to be Northwestern and Minnesota. And then you will have Iowa, Ohio State is kind of an interesting game. Ohio State needs a win in the worst way to keep their tournament hopes alive. So you got to think they're going to come out pretty motivated for that one. And then USC and Rutgers, like we talked about, hopefully that game just goes into like nine overtimes,
Right.
and
Well,
just goes
UConn
super
Syracuse
long.
part
Just
two.
just let them wear each other out. But honestly, like you hope that it's a close game, and like just from a Purdue competitive standpoint, you want that game to be close and them to kind of use up as much energy as they have to win that one. Sim, I don't really know, if there's a team that you would say that you would rather Purdue play. I think either team Purdue should beat. And I guess maybe you'd want rather play USC only because, like you talked about, like Rutgers has probably two top five picks in the draft, so they're a team that could get hot, and could, cause some problems and mix some things up. But either way that you're looking at it, whoever c comes out of that game is a team that Purdue should beat there. So then let's look to Thursday, and it's interesting games all throughout, starting with that Indiana Oregon game has a chance to be a really exciting game.
It'll be a home
IU, I
game for
think, is
IU.
probably, yeah, I think they've kind of, I think with their win against Ohio State, they're probably in regardless, but if they beat Oregon, they're in for sure. And both
I think
teams can
Oregon just beat
score.
him. I think Oregon just beat him like a week and a half ago too.
Yep. I think
So
that
they
was the last
definitely.
time IU lost.
Yeah, so they're going don't want to spin the block on them and make sure that they balance the scales. And I agree with you too. I think that for IU, like they're probably in good shape in terms of like getting in the tourney. But like if they now like a win on Thursday, yeah, that that probably puts them more in that more comfortably in.
Yeah, so then after that game, you had the winner of Northwestern Minnesota, and they will take on Wisconsin. I don't think it really matters who wins that game. I don't think either team probably is going to give Wisconsin much of a run. That would probably be the least exciting game of the day on Thursday. Hopefully for us, the Purdue game is the least exciting game because Purdue just beats the brakes off of whoever they play. But realistically, we all know that probably won't happen. So I would imagine the Wisconsin game against either Northwestern or Minnesota probably will be the least competitive game on Thursday. And then you will have Ohio State or Iowa taking on Illinois. You know, that could be a really interesting matchup too. I feel like Illinois is kind of a dark horse in this tournament as the 7 seed, a pretty dangerous team who now will be fully healthy as well. You know, they got talent, but I'm assuming will play Ohio State, who, like we talked about, they, you know, will be fighting for their NCAA tournament life. So that's always something to watch. But that has the potential also to be a really good game.
Yeah, I see like that Iowa Ohio State game to me feels like that's going to be like a really high scoring game, as I feel like anytime you're playing Iowa, and I feel like Iowa in these type of settings tends to do pretty well, but Ohio State, like Ohio State needs to win really, really badly. They need it really, really badly. So yeah, that'll be a good one. Northwestern Minnesota, like you said, I don't know who do you think is going to win that one?
I'd say probably Minnesota, just because Northwestern, with all of the injuries that they've had to deal with, you know, they're like literally limping into the tournament there. And Minnesota has played, you know, sneaky good basketball. And I think they will beat Northwestern in advance.
See, I think Minnesota will be fine as long as it's not a close game, because they as a team shoot awfully from the free throw line. So that's some stuff where like I can see that game being one where they like control most of it, and then Northwestern snipes it from them at the end, because like they don't ever get too far away. And so then when they start playing the foul game, if you're missing free throws, you know, now you're leaving the door open. I can see that one, being a being one of those type of games. I'm actually gonna go out on a limb and say Iowa's gonna beat Ohio State and then go up against Illinois, who I think at that point will probably smack them. But yeah, I think Iowa's. I just when you have guys who can just on their own just start get activated and just go for 20, 25, I think Iowa's got like three guys who can do that. That's always gonna, especially yeah, in a one game setting, you just need a couple guys to be special, which is also why I worry about Rutgers. Because not only at the time of like it's hard to beat a team 3 times in a year, but as opposed to USC, where it was just Wesley Yates III who gave us the work, there's a possibility for Rutgers where they're sitting there and Ace Bailey and Dylan Harper are like, all right, well, this is gonna be our last game. We'll make sure the scouts know exactly what this is.
Yeah. You code right. That's, you know, that's the double-edged sword of March, is that it's always exciting. But all it takes is for one guy to go on a hot streak and your season could be done before it gets going.
Right.
But you know, we'll see. Let's look ahead to Friday. I think Friday is when it really starts to get interesting, man, because they're like Friday throughout the rest of the weekend is just gonna be really good basketball
I was gonna say it's
games.
gonna be high level basketball.
So I think it'll start out. I'm not sure if you're gonna agree with me on this one or not, but I think it's gonna start out with IU and Michigan State. I think IU's just playing. They're playing at a better level right now. And it's almost like, you know, ever since Coach Woodson kind of said that he was going to be stepping down, they've, you know, turned it up like another notch. And I think he even joked about like that he's, you know, kind of reconsidered now, like if he's going to be back based on how good they're playing. But I just think they're playing better basketball right now. And, you know, it's just part of that travel too for Oregon, having to travel across the country. And, I think we'll see Indiana, Michigan State on Friday with Michigan State advancing, but that could be a sneaky close game.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think Indiana beats Oregon. Yeah, like you said, I agree with you that they've been playing better. There's no other way to say it. They've been playing better. And so yeah, then that sets them up with Michigan State, and I think that one's gonna be close as hell too, because it wasn't, well, I think it was the same. It was the same night that what we lost to. Was it the same night that we lost to Michigan in Ann Arbor that IU beat Michigan State at in East Lansing? So
That sounds correct.
they've beaten them before, and they didn't have the backing of the crowd. And again, like IU and obviously us and Purdue are going to be in the same situation where, as long as they're in it, it's going to be heavily pro IU pro Purdue. It's going to be a de facto home game. So that's the game too, where you see, and if I'm IU, I'm thinking I'm playing against Michigan State. I'm like, look, guys, let's just be in it. And those, like, when we get to that under four timeout, because if we're in it, then the crowd is like, the crowd's going to be a lot heavier, obviously pro IU, but like that's when, for Michigan State, it's more of like it's a road game. That's when it's really going to feel like a road game, and then the pressure's going to be on them, obviously being the one seed. But yeah, I see IU Michigan State, and then I hope that Michigan State wins. I mean, honestly, I hope Oregon wins as well. Let's be very clear. But my basketball brain, I guess, won't be surprised if I won't be surprised. I'll just say that.
And then after that game, I think we're in agreement that you'll have Wisconsin taking on UCLA. And that could be one of the better games of the whole weekend. Two really good teams, two teams that can really score. Two just all around good offensive teams. That's going to be a really shootout type of game. One that I'm sure whoever wins that Michigan State IU game, they're just going to want that. That game wouldn't surprise me if it went into like a couple overtimes. Like, I think it's going to be that kind of close game.
I
I
think they
think
match up pretty
UCLA
well
will
together.
advance. They do. And just the way that they both can score, man, that's going to be one that's going to be just fun to watch.
I think the bigger thing for UCLA, because UCLA can kind of do the same thing that Michigan does, and even USC, where they can get turnover happy and they play like a stupid, they'll go these stretches where they just play like stupid basketball. UCLA can minimize that, but like you said, with Wisconsin, I just think they match up really well together. Actually, I can't remember if we talked about it after the Purdue, UCLA game, but the one thing I was stunned about was that UCLA there they have the UCLA has a big, I think his last name's Mara. He's number 15. He barely played against us, and I think it was because he picked up two fouls, I think, in the first half, so he sat. But he came in late, and I remember he started getting busy right away, and I was like, yo, thank God he didn't play more. But yeah, I think UCLA and Wisconsin match up really well, like position for position, and even from a depth standpoint. So yeah, I could very well see that game going an overtime or two, and also just being one, like you said, if the winner of IU Michigan State is probably sitting there being like, oh yeah, I know the winner of this game is going to be kind of battered and bruised, and they're kind of going to want the same thing that we were talking about with USC and Rutgers, like, yo, go five, six, seven overtimes, I don't care, like we'll keep the lights on, do it.
So then who you got, UCLA or Wisconsin there?
Wisconsin.
Wisconsin. All right. So we differ there. I think UCLA is going to win that one.
I
I
believe in
think as
John
far
Mosley.
as the I think as far as the third game on Friday, we're in agreement that it's going to be Illinois. Although you seem to be a big Iowa guy, so maybe not.
Let's not let's
I
not
think it's
let's not
going
put it out there like that. I'm not a big Iowa guy.
So we'll say Illinois, Maryland will be the third game on Friday. And this is going to be one of my upsets. I think Illinois is going to knock off Maryland here. I think you're going to see kind of a truly healthy Illinois team. And I think their depth is just going to kind of wear Maryland down. And I think Illinois is going to advance to the weekend and knock off Maryland.
Yeah, I would. I would agree with you there because, Illinois fully, if they're fully healthy, guys are playing back and I guess in their original roles. Yeah, that they have they had at one point in the season, they had a lot of depth and obviously the injuries took away from that. So I think that can prove to be problematic because they have guys off the bench who can come in and obviously give you buckets as well. There is, of course, a way that Maryland can win it, obviously, featured with Derrick Queen. But I think too, like defensively, they were really gonna have to put the clamps down on Illinois. But like you said, when you have a team that has the depth that Illinois has and finally being healthy again, it's like, man, that's a tall task to ask for Maryland. So yeah, I actually agree with you there. I think that'll be Illinois.
Okay. All right. And so then obviously the last game, the save the best for last on Friday night. And I can use that joke for every time because Purdue is at the bottom of the bracket. But you'll have, I'm gonna assume we are agreeing that Purdue is gonna win Thursday. And they will take on Michigan. And if you kind of haven't already got the vibe or the hint, with us talking about, the type of draw that Purdue got. I think the Boilermakers are going to beat Michigan. I think they match up fairly well with them, especially on the interior. And I think the revenge part's going to play a little bit of a factor there also. Purdue literally let one slip away out on the road in Ann Arbor, and I think they're going to get some revenge back. And I think they're going to win in advance have the weekend.
Yeah, I think if Purdue gets to Michigan, I think they, yeah, I did, fighting off my I feel like my natural pessimism. Yeah, I think they would beat Michigan. I think that the I think what would be a big key of it is the fact that it's in Indianapolis, because then again it'll probably be more Purdue. I mean, more pro Purdue in the crowd. And then I think about like the others who we talk about, and I can see getting better performances out of some of the other guys. I think we've seen over the last handful of games, we've seen Miles step up a game, Jakari step up a game, CJ have a couple good games, and I think you're gonna get some combination of that along with the contributions you get from the big three. And I think too, yeah. I think with the way Michigan's playing and how they like to turn the ball over, I can just see, yeah. I can see Purdue winning it. I don't think it's going to be like the first time when they came to Mackey. I don't think it's going to be like that. But I think I could see it more being like what it was in Ann Arbor, but just with us finishing the job.
Yep. So we are in agreement there. So let's move ahead to the weekend. The first game will be Michigan State against what we think will either be UCLA or Wisconsin. We differ there, but I do not think we'll differ on the outcome. I think Michigan State is going to advance. I think they're the best team in the conference, and it's not really close. And they're just so good. And we talk about depth with some of those other teams, but there's not a team, I don't think, in the country, maybe outside of Duke, that's as deep as Michigan State. They just got so many players, man, that they can throw at you. And I think they'll win in advance to the championship.
Yeah, I guess I'll agree with you there. I
You
do have
seem
this weird,
hesitant.
no, I well, because I do have this weird thought of like what I the thing with me for me with Wisconsin is that when you have a guy like John Tonji, he gives me what's his face names what's his face Johnny Davis. He reminds me of Johnny Davis in terms of like if you have a guy who can just single-handedly be like, yep, you know what, guess I got to give y'all 40. It's just something about that always gives me pause in terms of like rooting against them. And like I think Michigan State, although they they have like have the guy like Jace Richardson, they have a bunch of experience, and like I worry about like what happens, but like what happens if you if you're going against a team who has the best guy on the floor, just sometimes like we were talking about in a tournament setting, if he gets going, then what do you do? So yeah, I mean, I'm gonna go with Michigan State, but it just won't surprise me if Michigan State finds Wisconsin and Wisconsin beats them. And if they beat them and Tanjay goes off for like 30, 35, you will hear me back here. I will be back on this pod. I'm not gonna be
Okay,
loud, but I will say I might know
that's
some
a
of those
very
words.
political answer there, saying that you think Michigan State's going to win, but you think Wisconsin can win also, and you're going to take that credit as well. So,
That's right. Sim Longer for
I
City
think
Council, 2027.
that's a scary thought. The late game on Saturday, we are in agreement as well that it's going to be Purdue and Illinois. And I think it could be kind of an, I don't want to say uglier game, but it could be a game where you can tell that it will be the third game in as many days for both teams. I think you'll kind of see a little bit of wear and tear. I don't think it'll be like a very high scoring game. Like, I don't think it'll be 88-80 like how it was in Champaign. I don't think it'll be more in like the upper 60s. Might be like a game where the first one is 70 wins. But I think the Boilermakers will exact some revenge there as well, and advance to the championship on Sunday to take on Michigan State.
Am I a bad guy if I say that I don't think Purdue would win?
No, you'd be wrong, but you're not bad.
I'm fine with being wrong in this case. No, I guess what would worry me is that is actually a point you brought up, the fact that like it would be the third game in 3 days for both teams. And so then we go back to depth. How do you guys like how are you winning? And we're so dependent on three guys, doing the lion's share of the work. And you just, I would be curious if, because if you, let's just, I'm just going off the assumption of like, okay, you get some contributions on Thursday, right? You get some contributions again on Friday. What are you going to get on Saturday? Like that would be that's where my worry for Purdue starts really is Saturday, because now I'm like, all right, you probably have Braden who's coming off of playing that's the better part of 40 minutes in back-to-back games, probably the same thing for TKR. So those guys' legs are going to be heavy. And then it's like, all right, so if they're playing like I guess a step slow, who off the bench would you do you just look at and say, hey, like you and you, like you're gonna accumulate, you're gonna account for 15. Like I know it's possible, but in terms of, like we don't have the like we haven't seen it like very often. So that's where it would worry me. I'm more than okay with being wrong. I'm also more than okay with the slander I'm for sure gonna catch for this, 'cause I'm like, oh, you have a Purdue podcast, you said don't lose. But yeah, I just I that like if it's Illinois Purdue, I just I think our depth might be what screws us up against Illinois. I it's not necessarily I think Illinois is better than us, I guess, but like
Yeah. No,
yeah,
I think
I
that's a
just
very
yeah.
valid concern. And I think that goes to kind of how like important or kind of how much of a trickle-down effect that game on Thursday could be.
Oh yeah.
Like if
We handle
Purdue can just
business.
handle their business against
Right.
USC or Rutgers, whoever it is, if you can build that lead and get it up to, I don't want to get greedy, but if you can get it up into the 20-point range and you can steal some rest for your big three, in those final kind of 8 minutes, that could just go, just have such a huge trickle-down effect for Friday and Saturday. But I think some of your concerns are very valid for a team that's as top-heavy as Purdue is to kind of I don't want to say run out of gas, but just to kind of go maybe a little flat on Saturday. And that's
Yeah.
why I think looking to Sunday, I think that Michigan State is going to win. Part of it is that, I think like the double bye is just so crucial to give you that extra day of rest.
Right.
But I also think in general, like it's no coincidence that Michigan State won the conference by, what was it, three games, I think.
Yeah, three or four.
Like they've proven throughout the year that they are the best team in the conference, one of the best teams in the country. I think if they win, it would be criminal if they don't get a one seed, and you would give two SEC teams one seeds. But let me not go down that road. But I think that Michigan State will win on Sunday. And be the Big Ten tournament champs as well.
Yeah, no, I agree with you there. I think Michigan State's gonna win it. And yeah, I agree with you, man. I forget who it was, but the seeding projections, and they had Michigan State as a 2 seed, and I was like, man, you would really tell me that, like, with like winning the Big Ten by 3 games, and then possibly as at least the path that I think it would be like you take out what IU, you take out Wisconsin, and then you would take out or you take out Illinois, like you take out three tourney teams, in consecutive days. Like, to me, how they wouldn't be a 1 seed. I agree with you. If I was a Michigan State fan, I would be extremely shitty. But yeah, I agree with you. I think Michigan State's gonna win the whole thing.
Yeah,
Big Ten tournament, that is.
it'll be a very fun and entertaining tournament. It'll be kind of fun also to go back and look and see how many of these picks we actually get right. I'm sure Twitter will let us know which ones we get right and which ones we don't. Probably more of the latter, but it all starts for the Boilermakers on Thursday. Obviously, not to sound cliche, but you got to take it one game at a time, and just handle your business. Like we said, ideally, you can kind of hopefully stretch that one out and buy yourself some rest there. But at the end of the day, man, like
Win.
you got to get this one to feel good going, regardless of what happens the rest of the week.
Right.
You
I think
got to
you
get
need
that one on
Thursday. Yeah.
Thursday to
You have
feel
to have
good.
Thursday, because I think, like, Thursday to me is like you lose Thursday. Now, when we're sitting here thinking about the tourney, if you're a 4 or 5, like, I know if like I'm gonna I would imagine people are gonna be then looking at those higher seeds of like, yeah, like this Purdue team, they're clearly sputtering. So yeah, I think I agree with you. I think that you have to have Thursday. Like, you have to have Thursday. And like you said, in the grand scheme of things, that would be a game where you'd like to be up 20, 25. You could pull guys, starting really at that under 8. But at the end of the day, you just need to win it. Like, I genuinely feel that way. You just need to win it. You need to get to Friday, and then obviously we'll see where everything goes from there. But yeah, from an overall, I think from a mental standpoint, I think yeah, you, I think you have to have. You have to have Thursday.
So we will see what happens. Again, Purdue will be the late game on Thursday. So a estimated tip off at about 9 p.m. Eastern time. It'll be 25 minutes after the Illinois game. So whenever that game gets over, 25 minutes after that will be when the game tips off. It'll be on Big Ten Network. So back on BTN, we were joking that it's been a while since Purdue has played on Big Ten Network.
Was a Washington game,
But
right?
yeah, it's been almost 2 months. In fact, it might be by the time
Yeah,
that game
I was gonna
starts.
say I'm pretty sure it will be. Yeah. Oh, I have a
But
question
we,
for you.
yes, sir.
Do you think that there's any special unveiling this tournament, like last year by Painter? No, so I think it was the Big Ten tournament last year where all of a sudden Miles started playing again, and he started being like him and Cam started being the first two off the bench. Do you
The
think anything
one
like that?
I could see, and I think it's a credit because I think he's quietly been Purdue's overall most consistent player outside of the top three, and that's Jakari Harris. And he started the year as a starter. I don't think he will start. But I would not be surprised if he is the first one off the bench. I think you'll see the same lineup for the most part. I don't think you want to rock the boat with the starting
Right.
lineup right
No,
now.
I'd agree.
But as far as like a guy, I think that could have like kind of quote unquote breakout tournament, I think a guy to watch is Jakari because I think he's kind of turned it on another level, and been playing really well, knocking down some threes. But he's also not settling for threes.
I was gonna say he's had some really good takes to the
And
basket too.
he has defended well. So, that's obviously something that paint, really looks for. Obviously, I would love for just Miles and or Cam to kind of just go
Explode.
off. And I think Miles has shown flashes. I would feel more confident in Miles right now than I do Cam. But I think if I had to choose one guy right now, Jakari, I think is a guy that could, have a significant role this week.
Yeah, I agree. I think we even saw it a couple games late in the season where he was like the I think he was the first or the second guy off the bench. And I feel like typically it had been that he's really the third guy off the bench unless you ran into some quick foul trouble, like Cam, excuse me, Miles comes in, picks up a quick two, and now all of a sudden it's like, all right, well, crap. Now instead of, I put CJ back in or I got to put in Jakari. But yeah, he has played a good overall brand of basketball these last few weeks to where, yeah, I can see him just getting a longer leash. So like not so much, hey, he makes a mistake and all of a sudden he's out. I think he's been playing well. But I think that now you're gonna see, hey, he might have a little bit of margin for error where if like, he knocks down a couple shots, a turnover doesn't get him pulled out the game, a missed assignment on defense doesn't necessarily get him out the game.
Yeah, and I mean, I think to your point too, like for Purdue to get where we think they can get this week, you're gonna have to have some guys step up.
That's how it is the
So
rest of the way.
it's gonna have to be somebody. The question is just gonna be who. But you like we say, you gotta get past Thursday first, and then you can see what happens Friday and the rest of the weekend. That's kind of the spot that you're in right now because, like you said, if something really bad happens on Thursday, I think Purdue is in danger of a five seed. And all of a sudden, those 5-12 games, man, they're kind of like the cliche upsets, but they're the cliche upset picks for a reason too. And I don't know, I would just feel a lot more comfortable come. Next week when we have the bracket, if Purdue is a 4 seed compared to a 5 seed.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, I'm gonna say the obvious. Not like we haven't lost to a double digit seed before, but like you said, that 5-12 is always the one when people talk about upsets. I mean, they talk about some other ones now too, because you've seen like, obviously we've seen like 4-13s and 3s lose or whatever. But yeah, if you lose on Thursday, all of a sudden you find yourself as a 5 seed. That 5-12, I just feel like for years and years and years now, has been the game that people have looked at. When you're looking at all four parts of the bracket, and you just kind of know at least one of these 12s is getting a five. And so, yeah, you don't want to be a five because then it kind of puts you in position to be that team. So, yeah, I mean, get that game on Thursday because yeah, if you lose on Thursday, fudge. Yeah, it could. If you lose on Thursday, it could end really, really quickly.
Not only that, but just be prepared to be upset because the upset pick across the country is going to be whoever Purdue draws.
Absolutely.
So every media person is going to have that pick be their upset pick. So
Right.
just be ready for that.
I
And
gotta play.
probably,
Go
honestly,
ahead.
even if they win on Thursday and lose on Friday, Purdue is going to be a pretty big upset pick, I
You're
think,
always in
within the
pocket. Yeah.
media. So just be ready for all that.
Yeah. Oof.
But man, we will see what happens. This was fun. This is like this is the fun time of the year, where, it's March, like they say, anything can happen. And we will see what happens for the Boilermakers. Like we said, they will get started the late game on Thursday. It'll start 25 minutes after the Illinois game, on Big Ten Network, and then they will play either USC or Rutgers. And ideally win and then play the late game on Friday as well. So it'll tip off 25 minutes after the Maryland game. And I just say Maryland because that's the only team we know for sure will be playing in that game. So a couple of late nights, ideally. But we will see what happens. It'll be fun to break it all down. And kind of see real quick, Sim. I did just want to highlight the baseball team before we wrap everything up. We talked about them a little bit last week as they went on the road to Minnesota and took 2 of 3 against the Golden Gophers and actually had a chance for a sweep on Sunday. And I believe Minnesota scored 9 unanswered runs, excuse me. To knock off the Boilermakers on Sunday. But nevertheless, the Boilermakers return home to Alexander Field. They have a season-long 13-game homestand that starts Wednesday against Butler. But more importantly, they have a Big Ten best 14-2 record as they get ready to start their home opener. And, I'm no genius or anything, but anytime you have the Big Ten best record, 16 games into a season, you're doing something right.
Seems like it. Yeah, I would agree. I know if we said that with the Big Ten best record in basketball and it was 14-2, that would have been a beautiful time.
So, good luck to the Boilermakers. And if you're in the West Lafayette area, man, go check out a game. Beautiful park out at Alexander
Alexander
Field.
Field, yeah.
And the weather is going to be gorgeous this week. So take advantage of it. Go support the Boilermakers as they take on Butler this week. And then they have a weekend series against UIC. So good luck to them. And good luck to the basketball team. Like we said, they'll get started on Thursday. And we'll see what kind of run they can go on, man. It'll be fun, I think. Like we talked about, like the Big Ten tournament in general will just be fun to watch. And no matter what happens throughout the week and hopefully weekend for the Boilermakers, Sim and I will be here to break it all down and get ready to look ahead to the NCAA tournament. So once again, thank everybody for listening. I appreciate all the love and support. Be sure to interact with us on Twitter as well. But most important, everybody, especially this week, Boiler up.
Yes, sir.